All right, so get ready because we're diving deep into Philippians 2:5-11. This passage has caused some, theological head scratching over the years, and you sent in some excerpts from Dr. Daniel K. Darko's lectures on prison epistles. So we're going to unpack this Christ hymn together and see what makes it so, well, interesting and controversial even.
Yeah, it really is interesting how this passage, this hymn, it's not just some poetic fluff, right? It really gives us a window into how those early Christians wrestled with some pretty complex ideas.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But before we get, too deep in the weeds here, can you set the stage for us? Like, remind us about the context of this letter to the Philippians. What was Paul's main goal in writing this letter in the first place?
Well, in a nutshell, Paul's writing to encourage this church in Philippi to, to really live out the gospel message, to be unified and serve one another. And this passage, this Christ hymn, it's kind of like a cornerstone, like a foundation for that message. It's showing them like the ultimate example to follow,
So he's basically saying, look at Jesus. This is how you should be living your lives.
Yeah, he's calling for like a total shift in mindset. And I don't mean just like in their thoughts, but also in their actions, you see.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Verse 5 seems to kind of set up the hymn that follows. Now, Dr. Darko mentions two ways to interpret this verse. Can you tell us about those two ways?
Sure. So one way is to see this verse as all about imitating Christ's actions. What would Jesus do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other way focuses on adopting the mindset of someone who's already following Christ. So it's more about what would Jesus think in a given situation.
So not just what we believe, but how that belief actually plays out in our daily lives.
Interesting. Now, does Dr. Darko lean towards one interpretation over the other?
It seems like he favors the idea of imitating Christ's actions, especially since Paul uses other figures in Philippians as examples, too, like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so, but either way, both interpretations really highlight that this mindset thing, it's more than just, having nice thoughts, right? It's about actually putting faith into action.
Absolutely. And the Greek word used for mindset here is really fascinating. It's not just about like fleeting thoughts. It's more like a deep, ingrained wisdom, a way of thinking that shapes our whole way of life.
Wow, that's deep. Now let's move on to the hymn itself, verses 6-11. Dr. Darko throws in a fascinating twist here. He says that the idea of it being a hymn didn't really become popular until the 1800s.
That's right, which leads to, some debate about its origin. Did Paul write it just for this letter? Was it a popular hymn that he was adapting, or was it added later, by someone else?
A bit of mystery there. What does Dr. Darko think about all that?
Well, he seems a bit skeptical about it being a pre-existing hymn or a later addition. You see, we don't find any evidence of this passage outside of Paul's writing, especially not as a hymn. Like, if it were widely known, wouldn't we find traces of it somewhere else?
That's a good point. So, for now, we're leaning towards Paul as the author. Okay, even if we set aside this whole hymn debate, Dr. Darko reminds us that this passage is packed with theological weight. For example, what does it even mean for Jesus to be in the form of God?
Right, that's a huge question. Dr. Darko suggests it's about Christ's inherent participation in God's essence, not a separation from God.
Okay, so it's not saying that Jesus was God at one point, but that he inherently shares in God's essence. That fits with, the concept of the Trinity. But then things get really interesting with the phrase empties himself. This is where the real debate starts.
Exactly. And this is the basis for what's known as the kenosis theory, the idea that Jesus chose to limit his divine power in order to, live as a human.
Hold on. So you're saying Jesus chose to limit his divine power to live as a human? But what does that even mean? Like, what are the implications of that? Does it mean that he wasn't fully God while he was here on earth?
And that's, that's the problem with the kenosis theory, right? If Christ wasn't fully God on earth, it raises all sorts of questions about the Trinity and even about, the significance of his sacrifice.
Yeah, that's a huge issue. So where does Dr. Darko land on this?
He strongly disagrees with this theory. He argues that Jesus didn't actually empty himself of power. Instead, the passage focuses on how Christ emptied himself, It was by taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself and chose to obey God, even though it meant, death on a cross.
So it's about the posture of humility and service, not a literal stripping away of his divine power. Okay, that makes way more sense in the context of this whole passage. But how do people interpret the exaltation part?
Well, there are a few different views. Some see it as a reward for Christ's humiliation. Others as a victory over, evil forces. And some even see it as a validation of his humility and obedience.
So we've got reward, victory, and validation, each adding a different, you know, layer to the hymn. Okay, so let's circle back to verse 5 and that call to have, to imitate, to emulate Christ's mindset. What does all of this tell us about how we should approach, you know, power and status and service in our own lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If Christ, who was, you know, in the form of God, chose humility and service, shouldn't we strive to do the same? Isn't true greatness found in serving others, not in, you know, lording power over them?
Right. It's like maybe it's less about climbing the ladder and more about building bridges. And Dr. Darko actually shares a personal anecdote to illustrate this. He talks about going back to his village as an accomplished scholar, but he still chooses humility and service. He doesn't use his, you know, achievements to, like, lord over others.
It's a powerful example of how this mindset works out in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about denying our accomplishments, but recognizing that true fulfillment comes from serving others and using our gifts, you know, for good. And it's a beautiful illustration of how this ancient text can still speak to us today.
It really is. So we have these key elements of Christ's mindset: self-sacrifice, humility, obedience, and service. And these aren't just like abstract ideas. You know, these are qualities we can actually cultivate in our own lives.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Like how these ancient teachings can still be so relevant today. But Dr. Darko doesn't stop at, you know, just analyzing the hymn. He goes on to talk about how this mindset of Christ should actually play out in the life of the church. And he calls it an appeal to shine in the world. What did he mean by that?
Well, he reminds us that, you know, the Philippian church was facing a lot of opposition, even persecution. Their faith was constantly being tested. So in this context, Paul's message is like, hey, stand firm, be unified, and let your light shine through your actions.
So it's not just about like an inward transformation, but it's also about, you know, making a difference in the world around them. Exactly. Their actions, their love, their unity, like it all becomes a testament to the power of the gospel, you see. And this is where Dr. Darko brings in the idea of radical obedience, something he suggests might even scare some, you know, modern Christians.
Why would obedience be scary? Isn't that like a basic principle of, you know, Christianity?
Well, you know, true obedience, the kind that Christ modeled, it requires a willingness to put aside our own desires, our own comfort, even our own safety for the sake of others. It's about following God's will.
Yeah.
Even when it's difficult or, you know, unpopular.
I see what you mean. It's easy to talk about obedience in theory, but it's much harder when it involves real sacrifice. What if, you know, what if following God's will means standing up for what's right, even if there are consequences? What if it means putting aside our own ambitions to help those in need?
Yeah, exactly. And those are the tough choices that radical obedience calls for. And that's why Dr. Darko uses the phrase like a work mentality. It's about actively living out our faith, not just, you know, passively accepting it.
So it's less about sitting in a pew and more about rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands dirty, huh?
Okay, so how does Dr. Darko connect this idea of shining in the world back to the Christ hymn?
Oh, he makes a brilliant connection by highlighting that Christ's humility and obedience ultimately led to his exaltation. In the same way, you know, when we choose to live out Christ's mindset, even when we're facing opposition, God will honor our faithfulness.
It's almost like a paradox, isn't it? Like, True greatness is found in humility, and true victory comes through self-sacrifice. It's like the more we give of ourselves, the brighter we shine.
Right. It really challenges us to think about our priorities in life. What are we striving for? What are we willing to sacrifice? Are we focused on, you know, building our own little kingdoms, or are we focused on advancing God's kingdom?
Those are some pretty deep questions.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's the beauty of this passage. It's not just some neat theology to file away, right?
Right.
It actually confronts us with a way of living that demands our full attention, our full commitment. Absolutely. It's an invitation to a life of purpose and meaning, a life that reflects, you know, the very heart of God.
Yeah. And Dr. Darko, he brings it down to earth with that story about returning to his village. Like, he could have easily flaunted his accomplishments, but he chooses to serve. It's a reminder that this mindset of Christ is meant to be lived out in the everyday, you know, in our interactions with our family, our friends, even strangers.
It's about finding ways to use our gifts and our resources to make a difference, to build up others, to be a source of light in a world that can, you know, often feel pretty dark.
And here's something I find fascinating. Dr. Darko subtly connects this back to one of the key themes in Philippians: joy. Remember, Paul is writing this from prison. and yet he's overflowing with joy.
That's right. And that joy isn't dependent on his circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. It's rooted in his relationship with Christ and his commitment to the gospel.
It's like that joy becomes fuel for service, you know? It's not about gritting our teeth and trying to be, you know, good Christians. Mm-hmm. It's about letting that joy flow out of us and into the world.
Exactly. It's a contagious joy, a joy that spreads through, you know, acts of kindness, genuine love, and a willingness to put others first.
So it creates this, like, beautiful cycle. We experience the joy of Christ, and that joy inspires us to serve, which then brings more joy, not just to ourselves, but, you know, to those around us.
And that raises a critical question for us. What would it look like to embrace this mindset of Christ more fully in our own lives? What are the areas where we might be clinging to, you know, power or status? Where are we holding back from truly serving others?
Wow, those are some challenging questions to consider. Dr. Darko is really prompting us to do some, you know, some serious self-reflection here.
He is, and I think that's the perfect place to transition to our final thoughts for this deep dive.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about, that's for sure. But I think that's what makes these deep dives so valuable, right? We're not just skimming the surface. We're, like, really wrestling with these ideas and figuring out how to apply them to our own lives, you know?
Exactly. And it's about taking those, you know, those challenging questions and letting them shape how we live, how we interact with others, how we use our gifts and resources.
And speaking of challenging questions, you were about to share a final thought based on, you know, this passage in Dr. Darko's lecture, something for our listeners to really chew on.
Yes. So if the path to true exaltation, to true significance, really lies in humility and service, as this passage seems to suggest, then what might that look like for you in your own life? That's the question I want to leave you with today.
Wow, that's powerful. It really brings it home and makes it personal. It's not just some abstract theological concept. It's a call to action, you know?
Exactly. And that's the beauty of Scripture, isn't it? It's alive, it's active, it's constantly challenging us to examine ourselves and, you know, to live differently.
I love that. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive on Philippians 2:5-11. We've explored, you know, different interpretations, unpacked some pretty complex theological ideas, and even delved into the practical implications of what it means to have the mind of Christ.
We've seen how this ancient passage can still speak to us today, you know, calling us to humility, to service, to that radical obedience we were talking about.
But this is just the beginning. If this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, I encourage you to keep exploring. Dive deeper into the book of Philippians, you know, check out different commentaries, and most importantly, reflect on how you can embody this mindset of Christ in your own unique way.
Remember, the world needs your light. Don't let it stay hidden.
That's a perfect note to end on. Until next time, keep diving deep.